Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, I am K Smiles the Animal.
My name is Ziani.
Dr. Phil.
And I'm just Caitlin.
And this is
Nerf Said!
Exactly, live and direct and the place to be.
Yes, and you can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Just search Nuff Said with a K, not with an N or with a noog. umlauts, just K-N-U-F-F space S-A-I-D. You can also find us on Instagram at Nuff Said, and you can find us on Tumblr. This is Nuff Said. And we also have a special guest with us today, one of our favorite regulars. Nick is back on the show with us. Yay!
Hey, everybody.
Yay!
What's up, Nick?
Not much. I'm good. I am good, yes.
Good. It's good to be good. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Refresh the memories of those folks?
Yes, I'm Nick, amateur illustrator and movie critic. You can catch me at my website that is still under construction, nightcastle.com, NITECASTLE.com. Nightcastle.
Woot.
Awesome. Woot?
Woot. Yes. WOOT.
That was an appropriate pause for the woot before woot.
Oh. Woot. Okay. We were entering that word into the podcast lexicon.
Woot, woot, there it is.
Woot.
Actually,
that's
that
whoop.
Whoop.
No, that's whoop.
Yeah, I was joking.
Oh, she was
what?
Doing the thing.
That was a joke. Man, I'm sorry. we're so humorless.
It's all right. It was a bad joke, to be fair.
Boom and shakalaka. So.
It's too late. We already committed.
So, now that we've got all of the wooting out of the way. This week in Mother Freaking Comics.
Woot.
Woot. More wooting. hooting and wooting.
Always.
Word. Yeah, let's jump right in. We'll start as we usually do with DC, because we like to start with DC because we usually don't have a ton to talk about in DC. And Kane's not here, so that means he's not going to talk about Suicide Squad or any of that other stuff. So if you're reading that, I'm sure he'd tell you to keep reading. Batman number 52. I was really excited. The Bat's back, even though his cape has a purple lining in it. I actually like the purple lining in the cape, by the way, guys, because it's just like a throwback to him having purple gloves in his original version.
Can I ask a silly question?
Sure.
What kind of purple are we talking here? Are we talking like Barney purple, or are we talking royal purple?
It's like tasteful.
Purple.
It's kind of like
deep purple.
It's kind of like light off of a royal purple. It's kind of like, if you don't really notice it, you won't.
No, it's purple.
And it really is just a throwback to, like, Batman's original version when he had purple gloves.
Dig it.
He had some gloves that
were
purple.
Or a reference to the Batman of Zur-En-Ah.
Yeah, which was also a throwback to Batman's original uniform. So, I like it. This issue is really cool because Batman's working a case where this guy can phase through stuff, and he breaks into a bank to steal something out of a security box. Batman shows up to stop him, clearly, but they're throwing back to when Bruce's parents were first murdered, and Leslie Tompkins and Alfred are talking about how he's feeling, and they give him a journal to write in, pretty much to chronicle, you know, his pain. And he's supposed to write things in the journal to help him get past his parents' death. So they keep flashing back to that, leading up to when he left for the time period he left Gotham to train, which led to him becoming Batman. And so we're jumping back and forth between that and him working the case. And what we find out at the end of the story is that what was inside of the safe deposit box was the journal, and he kept it. At the end of the journal, he was angry in a scene, and Alfred wrote something in the journal. He gets really upset and rips it out as a child, and his parents got killed. He's upset, clearly. But what we find at the end when Bruce brings the book back to the cave is that the last page Alfred had written in, your parents will always be proud of you.
Of course.
So the lead up to the whole story was that, he's Batman, and like all the stuff he's doing is so that his parents will be proud. So it was a nice kind of heartwarming kind of story leading into this new rebirth Batman, I'm assuming. It was really nice, really tight story. I liked it. It was just kind of hitching the heartstrings a little bit. Pretty solid. Action sequences are good. I dug it. So, yeah, I give it a thumbs up.
Before we go on, since I'm filling in for Kyle, can I have a quick side note here?
Here we go.
Rock out. It's quick. It's not vulgar or anything. It'll
that
make you guys
as a
laugh.
Ding, I think.
Because I'm Kyle today, so
you're
no dings for
no,
cats.
No, you're you, but you still said side note. So,
oh, okay.
You
know, so yeah, we get a ding.
If there's a cat side note, that's a double ding.
Oh, yeah. I'll make that happen.
So take a shot, guys.
So I was going through some of my old notebooks yesterday, and I found a Hello Kitty journal that I had received my
ding.
Sophomore year. In high school, which was 15 years ago, apparently. Mm. And I know, right?
That it does.
It was time passes.
And I was reading some of these journal entries that I'd written from 2001 and realizing how much of a dweeb I was and am. And the nice side notes I would leave to myself, like I'd write something and then parentheses I'd put AKA something else. Like I didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Explaining some things to yourself?
Yeah, or someone else who would read my diary in the future.
Leaving footnotes for yourself?
I was, and then I wrote like...
Yeah, future you.
Colons, yeah. Laughs, close colon. Like I had parentheticals in it. It was weird. I'll bring it in and show you guys. There's nothing
so
bogus.
Future you.
Like live tweeting your own thoughts.
Right, exactly.
Before there was live tweeting.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I would write
That's really what journal entries were. If like you had a short attention span, you would just write that like one sentence and then call it a day. Or at least I would.
Yeah, so future you, now you, yes. Present you, got to read what past you, aka yes. Present you at the time, wanted to say.
Oh, man, it was hilarious. I'll bring it in and show you guys.
Kind of works.
Mostly woots, I assume.
Lots of woots.
Oh, there were lots of woots.
And lots of random Japanese, because I was apparently a weeboo.
That's positive. I support
Kawaii.
I know, right? Jane, you know.
I support all of that.
Nani.
Exactly.
Moving on with comics. Side note over. Mm-hmm. That's what you were supposed to say.
Sorry, close out. Side note. Close out. End done.
Yeah, bookend.
Yeah. I did read some other stuff in DC, but I don't really care to mention it because I'm not fully engaged. There's the Superman thing with them showing up and, you know, the Japanese Superman. I don't know if he's Japanese. Is he Chinese? Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen there. And I know all this stuff is leading to Rebirth. So I almost just kind of want to wait until Rebirth happens so that they can start over. I was supposed to read New 52 Superman meeting pre-New 52 Superman. That issue came out this week.
Oh.
I started reading it and I fell asleep, which is probably appropriate.
Ooh.
So... Ooh. I just want to know. Yeah.
Well, what a damning review.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just want to know.
Sleep reading, probably appropriate.
Yeah. Who's going to be Supes? Is it going to be, you know,
just
what I like to call our Superman, you know, pre New 52
Superman?
Superman? Yeah.
Not this other man masquerading as him?
You know, Superboy Prime. I don't know. We don't know who this guy is or what he's going to be. So I guess we'll find out in a few weeks.
Well, he's going to be dead.
When Rebirth starts. So they say.
Yes.
But we never can tell. And now, you know what? Before we close out DC, so the great illustrator and sometimes writer Darwin Cook passed of cancer a couple
I didn't
days
know
ago.
It was cancer.
It was cancer. It was pretty weird too. Like they said that he'd been going through stuff, and his wife posted a message saying, you know, he's been really sick. We didn't really want to talk about it. He's going into hospice care, so pray for us.
Oh,
and then like
God.
The next morning, he passed away. So yeah, it kind of sucked, man. But like, if you don't know. Who he is, you probably should look it up. Are you talking about Justice League The New Frontier, which is pretty much looms large, his work on Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, tons and tons of other stuff, man. Tons and tons. The list goes on. Jim Lee has been posting a lot of stuff on his Instagram about it because they were pretty close. It's cancer sucks, dude. It does.
Yeah.
So great illustrator, great storyteller. Yeah, so rest in peace. The past few years have been losing a lot of comic book luminaries, man. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Sadly.
Yeah, that was very sobering. So now moving on to the House of Ideas. over in Mighty Marvel, we've got something I'm pretty excited about, Black Panther issue 2.
I'm going to talk about some Black Panther later.
Yeah. Yo, relax. Yo, relax.
You a fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yo, chill. So,
No chill.
Yeah, chill out. Black Panther issue 2 And Phil actually read it, guys.
I read a This Week in Comic, guys.
Boom. Wow. For the first time ever.
It's pretty amazing.
We should be popping open the Douce right now. This dude.
I might actually do that.
This dude literally read some This Week in Comics. So I'm actually pretty excited about where this is going, man. So in issue two, we further explore what it means to be king. So T'Challa is certainly waxing about that. The political situation in Wakanda, what's happening. We find out more about the characters from the first issue. Some of their motivations are clearing up a little bit. It's kind of a civil war type of situation. And I mean, not in the larger scheme when we're talking about civil war, but, you know, in the actual country of Africa. I also appreciate that they picked up the thread from Shuri being queen and the fact that she's half dead and half alive and T'Challa being feeling really, really guilty about that. Did you want to say something?
Did you just say the country of Africa?
No, I meant the country of Wakanda.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did say that, didn't I?
All right. That's like one of my hugest pet peeves in the world. And I was like, not Corey, no.
It also makes me very angry, too. So I meant Wakanda.
I think Corey knows Africa is a continent, guys.
I absolutely know. And, you know, I took a plane there once or twice. So, yeah, if I said that, you can take a shot. I probably
did. Yeah, take a shot.
Yeah, take a shot.
You can actually take a shot whenever you want, guys, also, not just when we tell you.
Yeah, yeah. It's fantastic.
If you're feeling a little thirsty,
don't let us rule you. You're your own person.
Have an extra one. We don't judge here at Nuff Said.
So, a lot's going on in Wakanda right now, and T'Challa is having some trouble. I like that, you know, the pace is going at a nice pace. It's not rushing into it. There isn't like 8 million pounds of action. There's a lot of story here. And the best versions of Black Panther have always been story driven. So I'm really enjoying it so far. Yeah. The art's cool. What'd you think, Phil?
So I obviously have even less of an idea of what's going on in the plot than anyone else. But the story seems like it's shaping up to be super interesting. There's a lot of sort of themes of political power and leadership that are getting introduced.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, stuff that Ta-Nehisi Coates clearly is interested in.
Facts.
In his other writing. So, yeah, I think it seems really promising.
Yeah.
And the art is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of, what's his name? Stelfreeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is excellent. Enjoying it a lot so far.
It's heavy, man. It's like, you know, what does it mean, you know, to be a leader? You know, what type of leader are you? You know, versus how do the people view you as a leader? There's a scene where T'Challa rescues these people and says that he'll provide for them and then, you know, from these rebels. And then when he gets there, the people who were supposedly captives, T'Challa says, you know, you're free now and your king will provide for you. And then they say those men were providing for us. So it's like a whole lot of rumination on what that means when you talk about heavy is the head that wears a crown.
I feel like they've been pushing a lot. They've been pushing a lot of that aspect of Black Panther lately. And honestly, I think it's like one of the strongest things about the character is just that dilemma.
Yeah. So right now they're clearly focusing on the political side of it. And I really do like that he added the thread of what happened to his sister while he was off doing the Illuminati thing and keeping the multiverse safe. Like when his sister was queen and so she's half dead and half alive and he's still, even being one of the most brilliant scientists in the Marvel Universe, can't figure out, you know, how to deal with that, and he's guilty about it.
Hmm.
So that's kind of where we are. And then at the end of the issue, apparently, you know, Shuri and I guess that's T'Challa's. It's his stepmother technically. Are like, you know, sitting there together like she's alive, and I'm like, what's going on here? So that was a great way to end the issue. I'm definitely looking forward to issue three.
Yeah, I also think it's cool that there are characters that are being set up to be in conflict, but where, you know, there's not obvious heroes and villains, and it should make the conflicts a little more interesting, I think, than they are in other types of stories where everything is sort of morally obvious, which I imagine is an issue that we will return to later in the podcast.
Yeah, and even more fantastic, there are no hints of Iron Man or Star Spangled Avengers or anybody showing up. This is strictly, you know, a Panther show, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's going to happen, and if it does, it'll serve the story. So, hell of a run so far.
Hey, fine.
I read All New X-Men I want to just briefly talk about the fact that I find it really intriguing that we know there's a movie that's about to come out that strongly features Apocalypse, and you got Kid Apocalypse here, the Apocalypse clone. This story is really about him. It's his birthday, and everybody's celebrating his birthday. And so he kind of doesn't want to celebrate his birthday, but he's kind of faking it. So the whole story is about how he's tired of just smiling, because if he shows any emotion, everybody will start looking at him and go, are you turning into Apocalypse? Like, and that's kind of what it was about. Like, and I like how they did that in a clever way, but the story kind of took a left turn for me when our good friend Hank, and we're talking original Hank, not present Hank, we're talking time displaced Hank, is still trying to experiment to figure out how he can get him and his time displaced teammates back to the 60s where they belong. Kid Apocalypse, for all intents and purposes, comes in to have a conversation with him about that. An explosion happens, and they end up in ancient Egypt. Oh, boy.
Wow.
They get separated. Our good friend Hank gets...
Surprise, time travel.
Gets the shit beat out of him by some raiders. And meanwhile, Kid Apocalypse gets rescued by a guy in a mask who, lo and behold, turns out to be our good friend Apocalypse when he was a teenager. And, you know, they look exactly alike. So... It's magical, right? So, you know, the last panel, Kid, you know, he takes off his mask and goes, I don't know who you are, where you came from, but can you take me back with you? And I'm like, dude, he's your clone, and you're going to be evil later. So I know they're trying to, like, flip it, but it's like, I don't know if I'm feeling that. So we'll see. I'll read the next issue.
That sounds really confusing, actually.
That almost kind of sounds like a retread of the Kang thing that happened with Young Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt that way, but I just was like, well, I read this already. All new, all different Avengers, very briefly. You know, there's like 8 million Avengers teams right now. The mansion got blown up for the 8 millionth time.
Again?
So Tony and his Avengers are working out of a, you know, what appears to be an airport or something that Tony bought at one point in time. They're working out of an aircraft carrier. Hangar. And Jarvis is pretty pissed about that. So it starts with Jarvis being tight because he's like, yeah, you know, he's the longtime butler for the Avengers. And he's like, yeah, I'm not feeling this. We're working out of an airplane hangar. I have to clean up in here. This is some bullshit. That's pretty much what he's saying.
The metal detector goes off every time Tony walks through it.
Yeah, he's pissed off. And Vision starts malfunctioning and for all intents and purposes causing a problem. And then... Wasp shows up, and then oddly enough, Jarvis gets pissed off because everyone knows he's really protective of the original Wasp, Janet Van Dyne. To wrap up the story very quickly, because the rest of the stuff doesn't matter, Janet Van Dyne is not in the suit. It's some teenage girl who claims to be Hank Pym's daughter. We all know Hank. If you know your Avengers lore, Hank had a relationship with a woman before Janet who died. And apparently this girl is saying that was her mom. And that Janet Van Dyne's your stepmom, and yada, yada, yada. So everyone is pissed off at first, especially Jarvis. And then, of course, by the end of the episode, when they fix Vision, where she helps solve the problem, because, you know, she's the new Wasp. and then Jarvis goes, you know what, I'm going to take this girl under my wing. It's like, yo, dude, maybe we should find out some more about her. Like,
No, it's cool.
No.
It's cool.
You know, I mean, she's got the suit on. Jarvis was pretty pissed. Like, don't disrespect her. There's only one Wops. You're wearing her uniform. I'm not feeling you right now. And then by the end of the episode, he's like, yeah, come on, man.
Wait, you're Hank Pym's daughter? Yeah, come in. I'm fine.
You did your dad proud.
Pull up a seat.
Hold on. So, I'm going to keep reading it. I mean, it's an Avengers book. It's, you know, and especially because it's got... you know, Miles Morales, Spidey in it, and Nova's in it, and, you know, Marvel's in it. Come on, bro. I'm going to read it. So check that out if you actually give a shit. That about covers the House of Ideas. I mean, because maybe, you know, maybe you're like, I don't want to read all these Avengers books. There's like a lot of Avengers books right now. And a couple of them are good, and a couple of them, like Secret Avengers was really awesome at first. And then I was like, okay, man, are you guys going to, you know, it's just getting a little weird. So I don't know. Pick the Avengers books you like. I'm reading this one because it's kind of interesting.
Do the Ultimates count as Avengers?
They do.
Okay.
I mean, because the Ultimates were essentially, you know,
they were the Ultimate Universe Avengers, yeah, yeah. But they're so different now.
Yeah. I mean, but they're still the Ultimates. I actually like this Ultimates though. Well, to be honest.
That's the thing about this Ultimates. I feel like they're filling that hole that Fantastic Four would normally go in, because now they're doing like the super science kind of Doctor Who esque adventures.
Exactly filling that hole. They are exactly, you know, filling that position you know, the inevitable return of the Fantastic Four at some point
when Marvel finally gets the movie rights back.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think too.
Yeah.
That's all I got for the House of Ideas. I didn't read Darth Vader. I'm sure Kane would be like, well, you didn't read Darth Vader. I didn't read it. I will say that Vader, apparently, this run's going to wrap up, and that's going to be the end of the Vader book. I think it's at the end of the summer they're wrapping it up, because I guess they decided, look, when we get to this point, there's not that much more we can do with Vader, because this takes place between these two films, and, I mean, what more can we do with him?
That makes a lot of sense.
In a solo book. And I'd rather they do that than start making it corny. Because don't do that to Vader.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, the last time we tried writing in the holes in Vader's life, we got Anakin Skywalker in the prequels.
Yeah. You guys don't want to see like a Vader time hop series? That's not...
No? Ancient Egypt.
So moving on.
The adventures of Darth Vader.
We're big on Egypt here.
So moving on. That's all for the House of Ideas. I wanted to briefly talk about a book that I read. By Paul Pope. Everyone knows my gigantic love for Paul Pope. From Batman 100. It's Paul freaking Pope, man.
Great name.
You know, Heavy Liquid, 100%. Like, he's done some dope stuff. His artwork is what I've always been a huge fan of, because it's like really weird and, you know, kind of really interesting. But I was in the comic book store looking for something else. And Forbidden Planet, shouts out to Forbidden Planet. It's my preferred store. If I don't go to my favorite comic book store in Midtown. You guys know what that is. Come on, bro.
Good taste.
But Forbidden Planet is the one that I go to when I'm going to grab some stuff. And I ran across Battling Boy. Remember when it came out and I missed it. So the fact that it was there, I was like, I'm gonna buy this right now. And it's pretty cool. It's kind of a superhero-y book, but it's kind of not. Mm. So the main character is this kid who's really a demigod named Battling Boy. That's not really his name, but that's what he gets a name.
Battling T-Boy.
They kind of live in a dimension between dimensions. For all intents and purposes, it's kind of like Asgard. So his dad is kind of like Thor-ish. His dad shows back up after having some adventures just in time for the kid's 13th birthday.
Dad.
Oh yeah. And in their world, when kids, you know, turn 13, because that's when you become a teenager, hence teen, you have to go on an adventure. It's like a walkabout, basically, in Amero-American culture, where you go out and you prove that you're coming into your manhood. He doesn't really want to do it. He kind of just wants to kick it with his friends. And his dad says, no. You got to go out. I did it. You know, your uncle did it. Everyone else did it. You're going. So they pick a world for him to go a rambling on. The first world that they pick is Earth. And then the dad says, no, we've sent too many heroes here already. Our world has lots of heroes.
There are enough Avengers books.
No, we did that place already.
I thought was pretty cool. You know, that actually was the mom that was like, yeah, there's lots of heroes there. We sent a lot of heroes there already.
That place isn't so cool anymore.
So they pick another place that kind of looks like Earth and jump through this lightning storm and end up in this city called Acropolis. And he pretty much says, hey, son, you got to go here. There's lots of monsters here. And you got to go and hang out. You know, we got a place for you to live. Here's some cash. You know what I mean? Here's
at
a bag.
13.
Yeah. Here's a bag with everything you need.
I'm loving everything about how you're explaining
it. He's like, yo, dad, like, I'm not feeling this. And he's like, no, you got to do it. If you really, really need anything, you can call me.
No, but do it, though.
But
nah, but do
you know, I got to go fight some monsters and do some other stuff. So I'm probably going to be really busy. So if you really, really, really need me, call me. But if not, you got to figure this out. I love you. I'm out, bro. You know?
Shazam. It's very Spartan.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I loved about it. So Battling Boy, who really is wearing like a t-shirt and some jeans. And he's like, well, where's my stuff? His dad whistles and the bag falls out of the lightning cloud. He goes, yo, I had them pack this for you. Here's everything you need. Everything's in there. All right, I'm out, bro. And he leaves. And so really the story then unfolds where Battling Boy goes into the town. There's a monster attacking. He has to figure it out.
His dad sounds great.
His dad's his dad. I'm telling you, if you look in the book, his dad looks like Thor.
I saw it. I was wondering who was that Thor looking guy.
Yeah, come on, man. His dad looks awesome. His dad looks like Thor.
I appreciate how scrawny he looks.
Yeah, because he's 13.
He's a 13-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, man. He gets dropped in there. The side story is that...
No major spoilers, though, because it sounds like something I'd want to read.
Yeah, I'm not going to ruin it. The other side of the character, the other side of the story is they already got superheroes there, clearly, and something bad happens before Battling Boy gets there. So he runs afoul of a girl named Aurora West who is doing some stuff because of the bad thing that happened.
That is a great pulp name.
Yeah.
Aurora West.
Mm-hmm, Battling Boy has to fight a monster who's eating a bunch of cards and stuff.
Ooh.
And he's trying to figure it out.
Delicious.
And stuff ensues. What made me really sad, though, is that I read through it really fast because I love Paul Pope stuff. And then was like, man, I want to get the next edition of this. And then I went to look for it and found out that he never finished this particular story.
Aww.
He did. He wrote a couple of prequels that feature Aurora West's character. And you find out what happened before Battling Boy got there. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But yo, come on, man. I want to find out what happens with Battling Boy. Is he going to fight some more monsters? What's going to happen? So Paul Pope, shame on you, bro.
Is it a money issue?
I don't know. I mean, he's a really busy dude, though.
Well, yeah.
I mean, because this is some of the stuff that he did on his own. One thing I really respect about Paul Pope, by the way, before we move on, is that for people like me, I'm a nerd. I write stuff. And, you know, you want to do your own thing. It can be done because he's done most of his stuff that's on his own. Is really kind of pulp feeling, just like this, but it's really, really dope. So he's done like a bunch of indie stuff on his own that's amazing before he did anything with major companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Batman 100 is an example of him taking his style, especially when you're talking about like, you know, a classic character like Batman, he added his own spin to it, and that's 100 is highly acclaimed. So yeah, man, for all the creators out there, this guy gives you a lot of hope.
Oh, and a quick shout out to the publisher, First Second, that put these books out. First Second has been putting out almost like hit after hit. Wow. There's a lot of really good titles that are coming from that publisher. I know Friends with Boys is one that I really like.
Yep.
Faith Erin Hicks, I like her a lot.
I also really like her.
She's great. So if you guys haven't checked out First Second yet, definitely give them a look because there are a lot of different, especially like non-genre stories that they have. Like they have the Fifth Beatle that they put out too. That's been getting a lot of acclaim.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, definitely check out For a Second if you haven't.
Yeah, I think what's great about them, just from everything that you just said, is that it's a place where you can be, you can tell your story.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's if whatever weird thing you're doing, like there's a place for that, a place like that, a house like that.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Cool. Shouts out to Paul Pope. Check out Battling Boy. It's pretty dope.
Woot.
Yeah.
So, television?
Yeah. Now we're going to jump right into TV and film.
TV!
Going to start with TV. I think we got a little...
Not tuberculosis.
Little, some things to talk about.
No, is there a show on that we all watch?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think there's anything. Definitely nothing fantasy or, you know...
We don't even like TV, do we?
No, we don't. Like, I don't even own a TV.
Oh, I forgot, though. There's Game of Thrones.
Oh, right. Never mind. Yeah, I totally own a TV and I watch
Super
Game of Thrones
quickly,
all the time.
Before we talk about Game of Thrones, like TV, we're going to talk about some quick TV news.
Fuck you guys.
No, we're doing it. We're definitely going to do it. But very quickly, because we talked about a couple of these shows a lot. Like, we definitely talked about Agent Carter a bunch and we liked Agent Carter. Agent Carter is getting canceled. It got the axe. She's going on to do another show where she's like a lawyer or something. I don't know.
I was hoping that Agent Carter would get picked up somewhere else, though. Like maybe scooped up by Netflix or by Hulu or something.
Fingers crossed.
So it's the first Marvel, you know, base series that's gotten canceled while Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, keeps on rolling.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that it kind of matches up because there's something we're going to talk about later. Where we find out what happens to Peggy Carter's character. Like at the end of the line, so you know, it kind of ties up.
It kind of does, but I still feel like there's plenty of
I think she should. I really wanted it. If they were going to cancel it, I would have loved for them to at least wrap up the arc,
mm-hmm.
or at least lead up to where we see that they found S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right,
you know, so that we, you know what I mean. I mean, clearly we've seen Ant-Man and we know that mm-hmm. she founded S.H.I.E.L.D. and we know who she founded it with.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
But just like, just that's it. You just cancel it, and then, so we don't know anything else that happens. And I, you know, you leave it on a. I hate when shows leave things on a cliffhanger, and then the show gets canceled. That really just it pisses me off.
No, I, understandably, as it should, and it's also frustrating because I think it's definitely one of the more successful and offbeat Marvel universe shows.
It was a great show, man. Yeah. So I mean, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was just gonna say that there's always a possibility that they will like. Explore it in flashbacks on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now that like they got other stuff that they need to, they got other threads they need to tie up.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to work on being the best show it can be. I don't think it can be both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter.
Well, no, obviously, but they did have that one point in season two where like they kind of shoehorn and Peggy Carter for just one
shoehorn.
Well, not shoehorn. Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
I mean, when they did it in season two, it worked though because it was like we're dealing with what's happening in S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. You know, that was post Winter Soldier. So it was like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s falling apart, and then they just kept jumping back to when S.H.I.E.L.D. started and where they went wrong.
That's true. That was very applicable. I guess I just don't have faith that without something tying it together like that, it would go off swimmingly, I suppose.
I mean, I definitely don't want them to shoehorn it in and then just ruin it. But, I mean, it's Marvel. They don't typically do things like that. So they're going to leave it alone, or who knows? I mean, maybe it'll get picked up. But, I mean, she's definitely going on to do another TV show. So it is what it is. Meanwhile, over on the Adult Graveyard, a.k.a. CBS, Supergirl's finished up its first season, and we just found out that CBS is like, nope, we're not feeling it. So it's getting picked up on the CW. Guess what? I'm actually okay with that. I didn't really overly care about Supergirl because, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but I haven't watched. I need to watch way more episodes of it.
Actually pretty solid, yeah.
Yeah, it picked up from the first two or three episodes. I mean, I'm glad they handled the Martian Manhunter situation at least semi-properly. There are other things in the show that
I can't believe Martian Manhunter is in it.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty shocked. I knew there was something going on with dude, but then when he turned out to be, you know, John, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then it wasn't whack. I was like, whoa, it's not whack? You know? So now I actually have a little more faith with it going to the CW where the rest of the shows are. I really think, and I said this earlier before we started today, that I think the writing was on the wall when they had that Flash episode.
Yeah.
It was like, I started to think, like, why would they allow that? You know, like, and then it was like, oh, okay. So when they announced it, I was like, yes, good job. Good job. Good job. That's all I got to say about that. I think that's all the TV news we got. That's news. And now, Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
So the thing that we talked about heavily last episode about, oh, we don't know when Jon Snow is going to come back, man. I wonder how they're going to do it.
Our Jon Snow life pool, essentially.
Yeah. You know, we should have put money on it, you know, because I was like, it's got to happen early on. They can't wait till you can't have a rotting corpse there and be like, oh, yeah, guess what? At the end of the season, this rotting corpse is returned. Nah, bruh.
But episode two, really? That was sooner than I expected.
I was really surprised.
I had a feeling that was going to happen. Because it's like HBO already kind of dropped the ball when they revealed that the actor was going to be in that season.
But did anyone not know? Even if they hadn't announced it, there's no way anyone thought he was dead.
I knew. I mean,
there's no way anybody thought he was dead. So it's like, okay, you know what? Let's get that out of the way right now so that we can actually build up to like a real reveal.
But I think if they were going to go to all the effort to be like, no, guys, he's really dead, and like show his body in the first episode, and it just felt like such a waste, like to then be like, oh,
I did love that the actor apologized. I'm sorry, I lied to you all and said I was dead.
Yeah, that was lame. Also, he should have been like, eat a dick. Like, this is how television works. Come on, like,
fuck you, audience. I think he kind of said it as a joke. Like, sorry, guys. Because you knew I wasn't dead. Come on, bro.
Yeah. See, I
didn't even cut my hair. Come on, son. Were you guys paying attention? Were you paying attention?
You think I like this haircut?
I wanted to cut my hair.
This is fashionable.
This is what I do for my art.
I had to keep my hair like this in another movie I shot in between the seasons. Were you guys paying attention? Yeah, so
I was in Silent Hill, too.
That's not good.
That's true.
I totally knew that he was going to come back. And then, you know, I mean, clearly when, you know, she put the freaky spell on him and then she was looking all dejected like, oh, I can't do it. You know?
By the way, it was way too easy for her to do it after all that. Plus all the bleeding she had to do to kill kings of the past. And, and I feel like bringing someone to life is a lot more difficult than killing someone.
I would think so.
Except not really, because remember that scene where Arya Stark watches the dude get resurrected after Gregor Clegane kills that other dude? But, and he's just like, yeah, it was dead.
But wasn't she... I could be misremembering, but wasn't Melisandre like surprised that people can be raised from the dead? Wasn't she like, holy shit, that's kind of a big deal?
Well, it's also like, there was a mention that it takes something from you. It has a big cost, and we haven't seen the cost yet, so maybe that'll come into play later.
And also, are we completely sure that it was her that brought him back? We don't know.
It was a ghost.
I'm under the impression that it was.
Yeah, I mean...
It was very much telegraphed in the last season that she would be... It was!
Correlation is not causation,
guys.
That's
true.
Yeah,
that is true.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Like, we don't know. Like, yeah, clearly the way it looks is, oh, yeah, she did it.
You have an alternate theory? I mean, she was low on faith, which you would think would make her less powerful.
She was incredibly low on faith, you know?
Although if that was the case and she was not responsible for the resurrection, that is perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
Like... unbelievably perfect. The universe just lined up perfectly and everything clicked and they were just like, oh, Jon Snow alive now.
Because if she didn't do it, then how did he come back and why? You know what I mean? Like,
there's a whole dream quest sequence with Jon Snow's spirit that we just didn't see.
I don't know,
he was
in
the spirit world talking to Uncle Iroh.
Oh, yes!
I mean, that is a different Fire Lord. Slightly different.
Gentlemen, start your fanfics.
Wow. So, I mean, that definitely was a big part of what was happening. There were other cool things happening in the episode. You know, no more blind beggar girl. I was excited about that.
Yeah, really excited we're moving on with that, and really pleased with the way, I had mentioned this earlier, but I really liked the way it was shot and edited, and the lighting in that.
The sequence was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And it very much made it clear that we're done with that segment. So.
Right.
Which was good. I mean, but now we need to figure out, okay, so now she's nobody, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I could have used one more blind episode.
You had thoughts on Needle, right?
Yes. Okay. The whole thing is, she's nobody now, but we had that whole scene where she decides to keep Needle and just hides it in that in a couple rocks.
Yep.
So we know that that's going to come back eventually.
Of course.
So not like much of a reveal, and I think it's just more kind of testament to her character and her adaptability.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I'm glad she got her eyesight back. Yeah. Clearly that was going to happen.
But will she remember who she is in time for her reunion with maybe other Starks that, you know, seems to be building?
Probably, or it'll be appropriate when it happens. Game of Thrones is very much intentional about when everything happens within its timeline. Mm-hmm. And that
a lot of it is intentional in a bad way. Like, she just missed her mother's death, for example.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And at this point, I think she's assuming that her family members are dead.
Right.
You know what I mean? With the exception, you know, of John.
Also, poor Rickon. Jeez, what a gift.
Oh, can we talk about Ramsay and how he's the worst thing that's ever existed in ever?
Like, I don't know. I'm still hating that Joffrey corpse.
You hate Joffrey more? Joffrey never fed a baby to dogs.
Yo, no. Check this out.
He was just
I mean, he had a bunch of babies killed because they were connected to his fake father.
Was that him?
That was his order.
That was his order. Also, he violently raped/murdered every single whore who came to his bedchamber. So, and then decorated his bedchamber with their corpses. So, yeah, I think that's kind of equal ground here.
They're both...
Okay. Who cares? Kind of apples and oranges.
I'm just going to say, Joffrey was a scumbag, but he was a different kind of scumbag, okay?
Yes.
Clearly, he had a little bit of the madness in him, and he was a spoiled brat. Okay, we know that. We hated him, and he got what he deserved, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But this dude is...
Higher tier.
He's on a higher level, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, come on. I knew he was going to kill his dad eventually. I knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't see it coming like that, though.
But come on, man.
Not so soon.
I clearly also knew that his father's wife and his new brother weren't going to survive.
Nope.
But he was like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'm just going to feed you to my dogs. I just fed the girl that I love to them. So they're already full, but hey, why not?
I definitely...
It's good meat.
I definitely feel like... I didn't think that he was going to kill his father so soon, but as soon as the baby was born, I was like, oh, fuck, now it's going down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's out of here.
That scene was not a surprise after the murder of his dad.
I mean, the dude is a sadist scumbag. Well, I mean, we have to actually accept, and I hate the dude.
Yeah.
But I enjoy my hatred of him because I'm supposed to hate him. He's a scumbag.
I hate him, but I respect that hate.
Yeah, it's like what's he going to do now? You know what I mean? So now you got, the Stark sons that you thought were dead. It's like, oh, you guys aren't dead? Word?
Well, here's what I'm hoping.
Oh, boy.
Here's what I'm hoping is that he gets his stuff together and goes marching on that wall, and he's just greeted by thousands of wildlings and dead people. So because that's the only death that I think is gonna be satisfying for this guy.
Ironically.
He's got some flaying coming his way. He's, yeah. Not that I hope it for him, but
flaying.
I'm saying he's, other level.
See, I don't want flaying.
But it is also sort of perfect timing with going to Winterfell. He didn't even know that Jon Snow was dead, and news takes so long to travel. Thank goodness he's back alive to be killed again, or attempted. I mean, he's not going to die.
Except that he's leaving the wall.
Yeah, I mean, true. He is leaving the wall, so he's just coming to the Night Watch. But still, he's back alive, perfectly in time for Ramsay to be, out for him.
Oh yeah, let's kill Jon Snow.
I'm hoping for that for it just to be a recreation of the scene from Day of the Dead where that dude gets ripped in half by the zombies.
I don't know, man.
Okay, I hope but Rickon. Rickon, guys.
Yeah.
Poor Rickon.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
What is going on here?
Doing more than eating nuts this time.
They can't bring Rickon back and just kill him.
Mm-hmm. No.
I complained about how I thought that it was clumsy the way they just eliminated the whole Baratheon family, and they were basically doing it because they didn't want to write about them anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If they do the same thing to Rickon, and they did it to Durand Martell, who was a great character,
and if
they do it to Rickon, I'm going to be upset.
You're going
to
be pissed.
They can't just introduce him to the show.
To kill him.
Kill him, and then be like, now you guys can stop wondering what's going on with Rickon, because we don't care about that character.
That would be an asshole.
So I think there must be something else going on, and my theory is... Small John Umber, who in the books I think it's very clear is still an ally of the Starks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're thinking of fake out?
It's a fake out. That's what I'm saying.
Mm. Ooh.
Paul is not
but
as
shaggy
it seems.
Dog.
It could be just some wolf, right? It could be just some dog.
And it
could
bigger, be just some wolf. Bigger than an average wolf head, though.
Yeah, but I mean, still.
Maybe that was the price they paid. Who knows?
Ooh.
Who knows?
Aww, shaggy poor shaggy dog.
Yeah.
The best name out of all the dire wolves.
I don't know. Lemuria and Lady were kinda good. Also Ghost, you can't hate on Ghost.
Ghost is my favorite one.
Yeah.
That's fire.
No, it's solid. I just like how silly and childlike Shaggy Dog is.
Shaggy Dog.
Yeah, I agree.
Shaggy Dog.
I have to agree with Dr. Phil here, man. Like, if you just bring him back just to kill him, man, well, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's trash.
That'd be a dick move.
Plus have some sophistication about what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Have some attitude. We brought dude back so we can close this out. He's dead now, guys. How you feel about that?
What if he killed Ramsay and took back the North?
He is supposed to be the wild child.
He does have a wildling with him. Or free folk. Let me not use the appropriate term here. Free folk.
We have to make sure to be politically correct when talking about the different races and creeds in Game of Thrones.
Gotta be careful, though, man, because, I mean, this dude is a scumbag. So, I mean, I didn't like the look on his face when he saw it. I was like, welcome home. And I was like, yo, dude.
Do we ever like any look on his face?
No.
No.
I really didn't like that one, though. He looked like he was looking to enjoy himself. Meanwhile, our good friend Daenerys finds out that she's just going to be in a nunnery.
If she's lucky.
A Conan the Barbarian nunnery at that.
to a nunnery.
I was like, whoa. You're going to need some dragon homies to show up quick, or something to happen, because I don't think you're going to enjoy what's happening here.
I love Daenerys' face in all of those scenes, because she just looks like, oh, come on with this shit.
Really? She's like, I just want to go back to where I was.
I already had a hard time governing people that don't want to be governed at all, and now I have this shit? Come on.
And the intrigue that's happening back there in Meereen is like,
I'm actually into that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the... the Tyrion and Varys plot, which I was super excited about at the end of
TV
season,
connection.
Season 5, yeah. is everything that I'd hoped it would
yes.
be. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, real problems, like real problems. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, it's like, oh, okay, man, like Daenerys isn't sense. Here. I really like when he went down there to talk to the dragons, and he was like, yeah, so I'm going to talk to you guys.
Do you think that's a hint that he's going to be one of the three heads?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Since he's like one of the few people who's touched or communicated or bonded with the dragons.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't kill him or burn him or even like singe his hair. You know what I mean? Like,
not. Yeah, how could they? Didn't they know he's cool?
Yeah, I mean, he unhooked them, and I was like, "Yo, I knew, going in there, I was like, well, clearly they're not going to kill this dude."
And wouldn't that have been a twist?
That would have been crazy. They've been like, "You know what, dude? You let us out. We haven't eaten in a while, so
fuck this Tyrion guy. We got to get this guy off the show.
We're just going to take your leg. It's cool. Nah. You'll be alive. Can we have a
minor character? Nobody cares about.
Can we have a little arm? Come on, bro." But, like, the fact that he did it, and then when he came out, he was like, yo, next time I have a dumb idea like that, you know, don't let me do that.
Tyrion's been gold from season one.
Yeah.
It's like, and I've been saying since season one, the ultimate setup that we have at the end of this whole thing is Dany, Snow, Tyrion.
Yeah.
Like, that's you get those three together, you have solved all of Westeros' problems.
The dragons are out. Hope they got some oxen or something to feed them. They need to definitely let them out. So
oxen.
I think
oxen.
The chances of a bunch of these Dothraki dying in flames are very high. I would bet on that even at quite long.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. You know, the big homie's still missing. He dropped his mom off and was like, "All right, I'm gonna go eat some stuff. Yeah. See you later, mom."
So I feel like he's gonna be. Yeah.
I saved you from getting killed, and now I gotta go.
Just like a son,
the most willful child.
Yeah, he is. So let the other two out and see if they can find their mom before she ends up in a bad situation.
We want to throw out a quick RIP and told you so to our little John betrayer.
No, not really. No. this is what it is. Like, yo, he wanted to get his revenge.
He caused it. It's his own. It's yeah. He took it like a man boy. Like,
then John
showed
back up.
He took it like a man. He's a boy. Whatever.
They're like, dude, we killed you. Yeah, you did. He's not dead though. You guys got to hang now.
What a fucking like shitty twist of fate though. You think you killed off the person you think represents the people who took down your family.
Yeah, you feel good about that.
You take them down. They're just like back. You're like, that's a cheat code. Like what? Yeah. No, I beat this level. I'm moving on. Like,
well, clearly he is moving on.
Oh,
yeah. The other dudes look like they're about to cry. We killed you. We killed you. Yeah, you did, bro. Yeah. You're hanging from a rope now. Now what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate him for attempting to avenge his family.
No,
obviously, that wasn't the way to do it. But he doesn't know he's a kid. Whatever. Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for him though.
No, I don't. I mean, death was. That's what happens after you kill someone. Well, so
they usually stay dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had balls. He took his impending hanging, you know, with some stones.
Got a nice long shot of it too.
Yeah. His face was like, "No, I don't have anything to say. Yep. I'm gonna die. You know, it's cool. I'll go be with my folks now."
Yeah.
And, you know. Then after they hung, I really appreciate how John was like, "Yo, I'm out of here, dude."
Yeah. You know?
Peace. He's clearly changed. Well, clearly a different job.
I mean, you could tell.
He's changed, but I also think they're teasing something just because they need some certain conflict to get all the players where they need to be.
I'm sure. But you could tell he didn't want to kill them.
Well, no, he didn't want to kill them.
But he had to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Something that perhaps old John would not have actually gone through with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, through
I think
death.
John would have
There's
done.
There's a fire burning inside of new John.
I mean,
yes.
He was dead. And now he's not. So yeah. I'm sure that changes a person.
I was going
to
say.
Back from the dead with nothing to lose.
Yeah. I guess we don't have to say anything about Cersei's situation.
Punished John. You
know. Yeah, I mean, Cersei's situation continues.
Yeah, you know, she's got her homie with her. You know, the religious dude is like, yo, let me talk to your son and give him some whack game.
I'm so worried for Tommen.
I am so worried.
Like, he's not a good king, but he's like a nice little boy. I mean.
He has no chance of making it out of this season.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I'm
no
like, chance. Bro, why are you listening to this dude? He was like, yo, come sit down. I was like, man, hell no.
This dude.
I was shaking for him in those
I
moments.
Was.
This dude
I was.
Locks up your wife, makes your mom parade around the city and have stones thrown out like at her while she's naked. And you're going to stop and listen to what he has to say.
I'm not sitting down and have counsel with
you don't talk to people like this.
I'm going
to
be like, oh, I get it. You're not letting them out until they confess? Okay, cool. Let me go back and make my plans. All right, bro. I just want to come
okay,
talk
cool.
to you face
hey,
to face.
Hey, Jerry, you got your sword on you? Yeah. could you do me a favor? Put that in him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's such a precarious scenario, though, because,
yes.
I mean, when we're looking at it, you know, dude doesn't care if he dies. He's like, yo, you could kill me, bro. It's cool, but like, there's, I got a lot of dudes here, and they also don't care about dying. Like, the numbers alone, you know.
Because he's got the religious, crazy old man charisma.
That's what I mean. He's a zealot, and all of them believe it and follow him. So, you know, religious zealots are dangerous.
Yeah.
And so, that's the threat is real, and that's why I like that it's like a standoff, and it really is like, look, dude, you could kill me, bro. You really could. And I'll be dead. It's all good. But you're not going to make it. And these dudes are with it. And they just came out and they were like, yeah, what's up?
No, we saw that with Jamie.
Jamie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I they can't make it to me before you kill me. They don't care.
It's cool. And she's like, yo, the big guy could kill a lot of dudes, but yo, he's not gonna kill all those guys.
I'm waiting for him to backfire, actually, to end up hurting Cersei in some way. Like, not her physically, personally, but... Yeah. You know, for him to end up being detrimental to her cause in some way.
Zombie?
For him to backfire in some way. The mountain.
Is it bad that I don't want him to? I just want him to go all like zombie crazy and die in a blaze of glory or something?
That'd be something. That'd be something.
I think that it would be cool if he turns out to be better in death than he ever was in life.
No, I think that's cool. I mean, I fully expect him to. I expect him to misread a situation, kill someone he shouldn't, something like that.
Definitely. I don't know. I mean, he's Solomon Grundy right now. I don't know.
I do like, I'm really enjoying him. I'm getting a lot of humor out of his scenes, out of his little like quick looks to Jamie after being insulted.
Yeah. Well, I do like the fact that he's like...
He definitely
can understand what you're saying. he's not just a mute. He knows what's up. Like, you talking shit, bro? He's like, whoa, chill.
And just how good is that maester at his job? Because he resurrected somebody. He gave Cersei all the advice she needed to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
Honestly, thank God he didn't find Jon Snow.
Yeah, thank God he didn't find Jon Snow. But the weird thing is he's like likable because he's so conniving.
Yeah.
And like because you don't really quite know where he's at with his things, except for science. He seems to be just all about the science.
Yeah. Right. I think that's deceptive too, because
it's
like
or whatever you
seems
call it.
All kind of like, oh, I'm an old dude and I do stuff. It's like, yo, man, you better watch that dude, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I am worried for Varric's little birds though. Now that they're going to be with him, when he gave them the candy, I was like, don't eat that candy.
Same.
Don't eat that candy.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy.
Yeah, that's the smallest hint we got of the continuation of the Lannister and Dorne. Subplot. Mm-hmm. That battle that's coming up.
Yeah.
That fight.
How cool are the Dornish sisters, though?
I don't love them. I wanted to. I like the idea of them on paper.
I love that one. I love that one crazy chick who really has a thing for Bronn.
Yeah. Yeah.
The youngest one with the short hair.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She was feeling them.
You know what? I like her outfits. Is that a really like?
Oh, it's okay.
The outfits are cool. I like all the outfits.
I'm like, I'd wear that yellow thing.
Dornish, I just don't buy Dornish the monologues. I just don't buy the monologues that they get. That's where they lose me.
They're hot.
Except for that one part where like they kill the guy and he's like, "You're a greedy bitch," you know that?
Yeah.
That was like the best exchange with them.
They're hot. that's all I'm gonna say. I'm not feeling their mom, but they're hot though. Thumbs up.
Who is the most
I guess
beautiful?
We'll find out what happens, and if they're wearing more half-clad leather outfits with spears. On that note,
we have learned a bit about you today, sir.
Hey, I'm with it. I was like, whoa, okay, cool. They got they got weapons training and. They're badass, and they happen to be incredibly attractive. That's positive.
I'm sure there's some clubs in New York that could, like, hook you up with what you're looking for
I'm
here.
Probably going
to
pass
you need
on
to give
that.
Me the, you need to give me the names of those clubs
you mean
right
being
now.
Stabbed in the eye?
Yeah. Meanwhile, back in the real world.
Hey, man, wherever the night takes me.
On that note, we need to segue out of Game of Thrones. I guess we'll re-up on that when we see the next episode and find out what madness occurs. Meanwhile, in the theaters, we all saw a little film. Called Captain America Civil War.
A little film that could.
Snap.
Oh, snap.
Just the latest installment.
Yeah. Just, the next phase of the House of Ideas.
Avengers 2.5, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was.
Iron Man
it was.
4.
Minor gripe with this. Why wasn't it just called Avengers Civil War?
Nah. Because, and here's why. And I'm okay with the fact that this is a Captain America film. Because it was a Captain America film. Yeah, there were a bunch of Avengers in it, and that's cool. But this was a direct line continuation from Winter Soldier, without question.
Plus, he's always kind of shared his movies. I mean, they've always been intrinsic to his movies.
Yeah.
The Avengers.
I mean, when you're looking at Cap being, historically speaking, if you're an Avengers fan, I'm talking about just...
He's always been linked with the Avengers that way.
Cap... Tony is the leader of the Avengers for all intents and purposes because they found Cap in the ice.
But okay. Cap is the soul.
Cap is like he's the spiritual leader of the Avengers. Okay, so clearly they pulled a whole bunch from the comic Civil War situation and they did a good job of that. The best that they could do.
Yeah.
Civil War is, as far as comics go, it was a hell of a run. It's why I'm not necessarily looking forward to Civil War 2 because, in my opinion, I'm going to read it, but I almost feel like it's a rehash. Now, that's in comic book world.
Are they getting Mark Miller to do that? Are they getting Mark Miller to do that?
I'm not sure. I mean, we'll see.
Okay.
But all I know is it was like Avengers. It was an Avengers Junior movie.
It was a Captain America Avengers joint.
Yeah.
Well, the thrust of the action, though, I would say, was surrounding Captain America.
It's about
Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, there was a whole bunch of other side stories and other things going on, and that's pretty much how these movies are going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Continuing on, because now everyone is interconnected. You're not going to have a standalone movie with just Iron Man or just Cap or just whoever. They're all going to be featured in each other's films. Yeah. And this one was the breakdown of their team, but the focal point of that, the eye of the storm, was the breakdown between Cap and Iron Man.
No question.
And that to me is why the film was a Captain America film. It wasn't an Avengers film. It wasn't about all of them.
Well, it's how you write a superhero rivalry.
Right.
The mother freaking Russo brothers are badass, dude. That's it. Like, something like Winter Soldier worked because it was a thriller. You know what I mean? Like,
and it was Captain America as Jason Bourne.
Yeah, well, in the best possible version of that situation. But, I mean, think about, what played out in Winter Soldier and why it worked emotionally. And then you add the weight of that. So it wasn't like we had the weight of that. And then when they did this movie, they just forgot about all that. Mm-hmm. It was a through line. Like, this is his friend who's been his friend since long before he was a superhero. Like, it's the only person who's left from when he was just Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they drive it home with Peggy's death.
Yeah.
Oof, yeah.
So even, he...
Spoiler.
Yeah, so...
I mean, there are going to be spoilers in this talk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, so Peggy dies, and so he's only left with his friends in this new world, like he's the man out of time. They drove that home, too. He's the man out of time with morals and beliefs, from the time period in which he came. And he's still evolving in this new modern world with all of this new maneuvering. Meanwhile, Tony is very much a man of this time.
Well, he's falling on hard times, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not doing well at the beginning of Civil War.
Yeah. Got no Pepper Potts, to raise his spirits.
Yeah. He's having some relationship problems.
They are on a break.
Yeah. They're having some issues. He's still got all of his superhero pals around him, but Tony is at a crisis point.
Yeah.
They're both at crisis points, and the scene where they were all in the room and Thunderbolt punk ass Ross was because I hate Thunderbolt Ross and I've always hated him. I hate that dude.
You mean Red Hulk?
Yeah. Thunderbolt freaking Ross is a scumbag. So I was like, he's in charge? This is not going to turn out well. But when he showed them everything from the previous films, essentially, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was like, look, remember when this happened? And then remember when you guys did this? Oh, and then this happened? And so then when Tony just put his face in his hand, like, oh, come on.
Gasp.
Bro.
Characters having to answer for their for destroying property and harming hundreds
and people
of lives.
Dying.
I mean, they could have just not been there. That was my rationale. It's like, oh, sure, all right, just let Loki do what he wants to do then. I'm sure y'all have been happy about that.
And
huh?
That's the other side of it. Steve was like, yo, if we weren't, what would have happened if we weren't there?
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting him to be like more aggressive about that because he's like from the 1930s. So if you would imagine him like just going, oh, okay, well, you save everybody next time Thanos shows up.
Yeah,
it was very The Incredibles.
But The Incredibles,
which was
got the core of their storyline from the Fantastic Four. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm getting at with plot through. I mean.
The House of Ideas. Thanks, Dan.
Well, ooh, that side eye.
By Disney. They are both owned by Disney, now, so I don't, you can't really fault them now.
I mean, it wasn't really a criticism. Basically, my point was it makes sense as a superhero storyline. Oh,
yeah. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, we weren't trying to diss your idea. I'm just saying, shouts out to Stan and those guys, because you're talking about some stuff that these guys sat in a room and created quite a few years ago that is still resonating in the world. You know, a good story is a good story.
Yep.
So I really think the Russos friggin' nailed it. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
they could have got this wrong, guys.
Oh, they could have gotten it wrong. Yeah.
They could have Batman and V Superman to.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
That takes some real skill, though.
Yeah, clearly.
No joy.
Does it take skill? Like, I don't think we can quantify exactly what it takes.
No, but what we can know is that the Russo brothers nailed it. And these guys love comics, okay? That's a lot of people have said, you know, trying to figure out why are they nailing it? Because they fucking love comic books.
Because they like the source material.
Because they love these characters, and because they pulled the best stuff that they could adapt, you know, that matches in with the cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. It all made sense. Yeah, there's some minor things that I'm like, oh, okay, what about this? What about that? But overall...
Overall, excellent movie.
90% of it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everyone's super excited and talking about, you know, Black Panther's entrance, as well as Spider-Man's entrance. But in a larger perspective, the Panther's entrance, you know. I mean, we all were excited to see Spidey.
Hey, everyone.
But the focus is Panther. The focus is Panther, okay?
I mean, the focus definitely, in a larger perspective, you know, the focus was on T'Challa and his entrance, because if they got that wrong, that was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
We knew that they were going to do a good job. I knew they were going to handle Spidey properly. I really liked the scene where Tony shows up, you know, to the apartment and Aunt May's there. Good job casting Aunt
May. Best Tony scene in the entire movie.
But the awkwardness of it, you know, because
Marissa Tomei and Robert Downey Jr. dated before.
Yeah,
exactly. She can be someone's aunt now in a TV show.
You know, but she was like young, attractive Aunt May.
A movie, sorry. Yeah.
She was Ultimate Universe Aunt May.
Thumbs up.
They almost made an in-joke about it. Like, oh, you're his aunt.
You're somebody's aunt? Really? You know, Tony was totally being Tony.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The scene where they go in the room to talk, though, fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. That was so funny and so cute.
Yeah, it was like, is this you? And he was like, No,
what are you talking about?
The internet, like, they fake those things.
Video editing, and then down comes the suit.
Yeah, he was like, no, that's you. Like, but in a smaller perspective, working that, I mean, because we know they got the character. We know the business side of how they got Spidey and Tony in the universe, and they're sharing it.
Well, Sony basically realized that they had no idea what to do with the character, and they're like, can we just share it?
Really, you know, that's also so dead on with Tony as a character. It's like, yo, there's other people popping up. Yeah, I know what's going on around here. It's my town.
He's an entrepreneur. He knows when he sees like a trend coming, and he takes advantage of it.
We're in a big profile here. We have a large profile. We have a superhero team. We're doing all this stuff.
We're looking for enthusiastic young people to join our organization.
Yeah. So you're swinging around in a homemade suit. Yeah, the suit's terrible. You know what I mean? When he was talking to him, he was like, oh, this isn't you? No, it's not me.
How do you see out of this? I don't. Yeah. What?
The power and responsibility scenario, even though he didn't actually say. He didn't say the phrase,
I'm kind of glad that
he didn't say it verbatim, though.
No, I'm glad. But he, you know, I mean, he didn't have to say, yo, my uncle died and I didn't do anything. And it was like, how he laid it out was perfect.
Mm-hmm. He explained it exactly the way an awkward teenager would explain something.
The suit was dope.
Yes.
You know, Tony made him a suit so that he wouldn't be wearing pajamas. You know.
They're still coming.
That was dope. I really liked his introduction into the zone.
I enjoyed Wanda as well.
Yes.
I mean, I've always been a fan of Scarlet Witch, but I'm really liking this iteration.
Yeah, post her brother being killed, and again, look what you guys did. This was messed up, and it's like, yo, we don't want people to kill you because, you know, there are some people who feel like you're partially responsible for what happened.
I mean, she's getting you know, the brunt of it, really. The brunt. The brunt. She's getting the brunt of it, right?
Yeah, the anger.
Yo, Scarlet Witch be 420 friendly.
Yeah. I did enjoy the scenes between her and Vision where, you know,
yes,
it's kind of like
I did.
They're sweet. They're being friendly with each other, but he's kind of like, yo, dude, like, I'm
sweet that she's with this robot man who is perfect in every way.
He's a synthesoid.
He's not perfect. He's being controlled by a Geminis forehead. That's a real relationship.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
he doesn't understand Paprika. I mean,
yeah. But he's there to protect her.
And wear the perfect clothes and say the perfect things and also is made of the most of the hardest metal on the planet.
Yeah. I did think it was really cool when Hawkeye showed up and he was like, yo, dude, you come on, man. Don't do this. You know, when it's like, yo, we're friends, right? Like, come on, bro. You can't hit me. Don't do it. And then, of course, you know, they had to get out of there.
Right.
I got to say, I really love what Jeremy Renner brings to Hawkeye, just because
I love it too.
Every single time he's there, he's just like the most down to earth guy, even though he's like uses a bow and arrow and has like the most implausible like level of accuracy.
Again, the Russo's nailing of a character.
Yeah.
That's Hawkeye's role on the team.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like from day one,
he's kind of like the group therapist.
Yeah, he's the down to earth guy on the street. That's what he represents. Everyone else has got suits and powers and stuff. And he's like, yo, dude, like, I'm super accurate with this bow and arrow.
No, his best line is in Ultron where he's just like, hey, I got a bow, I got an arrow, there's robots everywhere, none of this makes sense.
Yeah, you know, but we got a job to do.
Right. I will say the Russo brothers are making a Chinese superhero movie now. So they're taking on other markets, being smart about it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's going to be in Chinese with Chinese stars.
And they can do it.
Yeah, and they can do it.
Because they're fucking awesome.
I mean, it's like, what do you do after you make a huge, like, blockbuster superhero movie in the States for, you know, your break? Oh, I'll just do one in China.
Yeah,
like,
and it's going to be awesome.
My worry about that is the idea that, like, they're too Western. My worry about that is that they're two Western directors, like, trying to do, like, to bring what is, you know, originally like a Western concept to like a Chinese audience.
Well, I imagine they'll have Chinese directors. They're producing.
Yeah, they definitely have to have the right people advising them.
I think if anybody can do it, they can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are they going to bring that to America? Do I get to watch it?
I'm sure it'll be translated and whatnot.
Yeah, subtitles are fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I know is that one of the superheroes better be like named after Sun Wukong or something.
I guess we'll find out.
Because you make a Chinese superhero and you don't invoke the Monkey King, opportunity lost.
I guess we'll find out. But we really got to talk about Black Panther, man. I'm sorry. We got to talk about it. I'm not sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. I retract my sorry.
No, never apologize for Panther.
So, it was badass, man.
Badass.
Yo, chill.
I'm sorry. I'm the only one on the podcast that, like, is interested in men, so I just giggle to myself.
Okay. That's good. And you know what? You that was accurate. You get a pass. No, but the depiction of the character was spot on. Okay? He was badass. He kicked ass. You know, like the whole thing with his pop getting killed and you know, how he felt about that, how he chose to handle it. He's exactly T'Challa. He's super he's not arrogant. He's super on point. He's eloquent.
He chooses the right path at the end.
I mean, and after seeing what happened,
yep,
he could have easily been like, yeah, I don't really care, dude. You killed my dad. It's like, you know what?
No. Nah.
Because if I do that, then all of this crazy stuff that I just saw happen, I'm going to be drowned in that.
No, he's just like, it's not about revenge, because that'll just breed more violence.
No, you're going to get what's coming to you.
Right.
I'm not going to do it.
Very kingly of him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and especially because he's at the beginning of his path as a king.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that scene where they all meet up to sign the accord, when, you know, everyone's there except Cap. Mm-hmm. The scene where Cap has to, when they figure out where Bucky is,
right.
Cap goes to retrieve him. Hell of a scene.
The fight sequences
were amazing.
That
super,
whole sequence.
Superhero chase scene. This is breaking new grounds in superhero movies. This is how you do it. You just find other scenes that work in other movies, and you learn how to incorporate those into a superhero movie.
Yeah.
And then that shows you how versatile the thing is.
Yeah.
Yo. It was great.
That stairwell sequence.
Oh,
when
man.
Bucky was making his way down, and Cap is trying to follow behind him. Oh, it was so good.
It's like, yo, Cap, you don't have a metal arm, bro.
Yeah.
You're doing what you could do.
Oh, man, what are they going to do about the metal arm?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
he's in Wakanda. They are top scientists.
It can be rebuilt.
But they freeze him down or something, right?
Yeah.
For now.
Well, I did appreciate that it was Bucky that was like, look, man, like, until we figure out what they did to me. Like,
man, the Russians put shit in my head. Yeah, I got to sort this out.
I don't know what's real, what's not real.
Yeah.
You know, I think I need to be...
They're asking me about the numbers.
Be down.
Just as a quick note on that, I thought it was very interesting that we weren't driven towards this fight that we thought was coming with the five other super soldiers.
Yeah.
That he was like, oh, yeah. No, I killed them. By the way, guess who killed your mom and dad? Boom.
Yeah.
Which is a super Zemo thing to do. I'm actually kind of disappointed that he wasn't wearing his hood in this movie.
It is a very Zemo thing to do. I did feel... that was one of my only sticking points. Okay,
really?
So we get back here to, you know, a makeshift red room, essentially. It's you know.
Yeah.
And these guys are already frozen. So, and they've been frozen since way back when. You know, why did you need to shoot them in the head, bro?
He doesn't want any more of them around.
Yeah, I get that. But it was like, yo, you didn't need to do it. They're already frozen. They've been frozen. You could just break the machinery.
Yeah, but,
but
he has to go full Machiavelli, you know? He's got to do the I don't just hate you, I want you to suffer type thing.
Yeah.
Does that really matter to you? Like, in one way or another, they're still dead, being a shot in the head or the breaking of the equipment.
I mean, are they? It was just a sticking point.
And Is Crossbones really dead? Because I kind of hope he's not.
Yeah, I kind of hope he's not. I mean, you know.
He still has to be around to recreate the JFK scene.
Yeah, I mean, and he hates Cap a lot.
A whole lot, like way more than a normal person
he
should.
He also hates Bucky a lot. So, yeah, I mean, the Zemo, don't get me wrong, the Zemo thing wound out nicely. And that was a super emotional scene at the end when when Tony sees how his parents actually died.
Oof. Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, you, and I was like, oh, snap, he's already seeing it. And then it was like, you know, Cap was like, yo, dude, chill out, bro. And
did you
like,
know?
You knew? You know, I was like, yeah. I mean, I didn't know.
I didn't know the specifics.
I was like, cut the bullshit. You knew.
I knew your parents were killed, bro. You know? And then it kind of sucks because it's like, okay, Cap knew, but you know, but why didn't...
It's like, what do you do in that situation? Which is what makes it relatable.
But of course.
I do like how foreshadowed that information was with back at the beginning of the movie with Tony's little therapy device.
Right.
Yeah. You mean his TED Talk?
Yeah, his TED Talk.
Yeah. No, it was. It was nice. And that whole scene at the beginning, I think a lot of people were confused until it played out. And I was like, yeah, that never happened. Like, you know, he chose to do that because that's still kind of haunting it.
And right. It's also the studio showing off their technology because now we can de-age Robert Downey Jr. whenever we want.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they did explicitly say in that scene, I mean, this isn't obviously how it played out.
Right.
Yeah, well, he said at the end, it was like, this is because I would have liked to have that it
Yeah,
happened
I wish it
this
happened
way.
This way. Yeah,
yeah
right.
His whole angst with him not getting along with his dad and not being able to fix that has been there the entire time. Mm-hmm. It's a through line.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Especially now that he has issues with Pepper and the scene in the hallway that he had with that lady, though, Ooh. Right after that.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
You know? And then that's really when the movie started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? It was like, yo, dude, like, yeah, you guys are heroes and stuff, but like, you killed my kid.
Yeah.
Heroes, but not to my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You killed my kid. And then that's the seed for him to say, you know what, dude? We got to have some accountability. But I thought it was great. Towards the end, before he went to find Cap, when he was like,
right.
Like you could see that Tony kind of felt like maybe we shouldn't have done this.
And I like
we got
that
an answer to this jerk, you know.
Mm-hmm. I like that about it. He's still open to suggestion, which is smart because I kind of wish that they were more like that through certain parts of the film. Because like when Cap comes to him and is like, "Hey, I don't think Bucky did it," Tony's just like, "No, shut up."
Yeah.
And I think that's like the point where we should have been like, oh, wait, maybe we should, you know, talk about
maybe
this.
Maybe we should investigate this.
Present our case to the UN Council that somehow has power over us.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was believable to me the way it went down.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
The way the sides were drawn.
No, I agree. Yeah. I think that I liked it. It was very Tony-like for him to say, yeah, I know Thunderbolt Ross is probably going to be pissed, but no, I'm going to go, you know.
Yeah.
The scene at the end of the big superhero battle when... Black Widow does what she does, which I thought was definitely Black Widow-ish.
Ah, yes.
She was like, yo, you know, I'm really doing what's best for all of us right now.
Right.
Her character is recovering since Ultron.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, man, yeah, I let them dip out. Yeah, I did it. Tony's like, what, you let them dip? Come on, bro.
You let them dip?
Okay, you let them dip
Why
out?
Why you let them dip?
You know, and she's like, yeah, you know, come on, bro. This is stupid. You know, I think we did the wrong thing, bro. You know, kind of like she's like the conscience at that point.
Yeah,
really, you were gonna
Which
arrest
is funny
these dudes
because she's the Russian assassin.
Yeah, I mean she's the one who's done the most duplicitous stuff.
Right,
and she's like, this is not cool. I'm letting them.
I love that
dip.
Irony about the character.
Yeah, but I like that the scene when Tony, you know, goes to the Super Max prison, the vault. and all his friends are in there.
The Raft.
And, yeah, the Raft.
Which yeah. I was totally like nerding out as soon as they said that.
Yeah, I was super geeked. And I was super geeked when they came out of the ocean. I was like, oh, snap!
I was just like, please, please tell me that they're eventually going to build up to that fight with the Sentry and Carnage.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That would be so fucking cool.
It would be, but you know, there are no Spider-Man characters in the universe at this point besides our good friends.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're wait, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Hmm. 2017.
I think that's a dumb title, by the way. But anyway.
I agree.
I know why they're doing it. We get it, guys. We get it. But no. But him going there and then talking to them and they're all in cells. Like, oh, what's up, Tony? Yeah. This is your fault. Fuck you, bro. Especially Hawkeye. Hawkeye was like, man, fuck you. That's essentially what he was saying.
That was exactly what he was saying.
I'm not feeling you right now, bro. But like him going there and saying, okay, guys, you guys aren't supposed to be here. I'm kind of wrong.
How pissed was Ant-Man that he was back in his cell?
Man. Yeah, that was funny.
Oh, man. I love everything about Ant-Man in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I went home and watched Ant-Man again.
I thought he did. The fact that he went giant man was like super awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, yo, I've been trying this out. Everything. I've only done it in a lab.
Just everything about that fight
was
perfect.
I don't know if it's going to work.
I don't care if Spider-Man like looked digital. I don't care like that.
I said,
about
oh, shit.
Any
that was
that.
Awesome. Yeah.
That
That's
was,
what
it
I
was all awesome, and it was everything that I want to get out of a superhero splash page. Yeah. But moving and with real people, so no complaints.
And I also couldn't help but be reminded of Attack on Titan when Spider-Man was slinging around with the giant Ant-Man walking up.
Oh, yeah,
like,
sure.
Oh, yeah, oh, there should be a wall somewhere.
Oh, Spider-Man Attack on Titan.
Yeah. That crossover also needs to happen.
It needs right now.
Yeah, I'm a pass.
Somebody on the internet needs to draw it.
Yeah.
I want Ant-Man in that for obvious reasons.
But we
must defeat the Ant Titan.
Wow.
The theme song star. The Titan. Wow. But
you nailed that one. Good job.
Yes.
There isn't enough positive adjectives that I can find, and I'm a writer to come up with why this was awesome. It was awesome. It was friggin' awesome, guys.
Friggin' awesome sauce.
I could write an entire list. Dialogue, placement, action, everything. Just everything was nailed in that scene. The fact that they're in an airport, which, you know, they're no collateral damage. That was well thought out.
Yeah. No, I really like how the planes got destroyed. And
nobody got nuked?
No. Some people got beat the hell up. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what happened to the homie, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my man Don Cheadle's that guy. You know, this War Machine situation is really interesting, and I think that's probably going to lead to Tony creating the Bleeding Edge armor. You know, come on, War Machine.
I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought of it as an impetus for him to create another thing that will become the centerpiece of a later.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
that's like his
Iron
best.
Thing.
It's his friggin' best friend.
Yeah.
You know, and of course he feels responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that when he's laying there, like Tony's face, when he's like, oh, you know.
No, that was a great scene.
I was like, that's awesome.
I'm sorry. Bam!
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When he just blasted him.
Yeah.
Like, damn, son. Like, but I would have done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's your friend too, but like, this is your guy here.
Yeah.
I think they needed to have something bad happen to someone in that fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Otherwise, I mean, the movie I thought had a really good balance between like humor and grappling with some serious issues,
yep.
Especially most comic book movies either have no humor at all if it's a DC movie,
yep.
Or
yeah.
don't grapple with anything serious, which
yeah.
is the case for most Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I thought
yeah.
this was different in that respect. And that, like, if that fight scene had ended with no consequences for anyone, then it would have been kind of like, oh,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
That we tried to pretend to have a real conflict about something, but we didn't, you know, like, you know,
no commitment.
I almost thought they were going to kill him, you know, like, they didn't do that, which is probably good, but
no, I'm glad he didn't die.
I'm glad he didn't die. I'm super glad he's still alive.
Yeah. But him being severely injured, and it's like, yo, we're all friends here, dude. You know, we saved the world a couple of times. Like, you know, we're fighting about this serious thing. And that could have been corny because it could have been like, you know, when friends fight on the Super, remember the Super Friends when you were like, oh, this is an episode where they don't agree. And
like that time that Darkseid was totally macking on Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you know, one side's being controlled and the other, oh, we're fighting our friends. Don't hurt them. Like, you know.
I love that scene. He's like eating a bunch of leeches while he's like trying to like use pickup lines on her.
I remember that and it made me uncomfortable as a child. But in a major way, like, there were consequences. Clearly he got hurt. You know, when you see Falcon go, I'm sorry, like, I know he really meant it. Like,
right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit. You know what I mean? And then he got blasted, which was appropriate.
Yep.
You know, but okay, he didn't die. You know, he has to go through therapy. I'm pretty sure he's going to walk again.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's going to have that injury, you know, that's going to be semi-permanent. Tony's going to find a way to fix that.
Right.
That was
right.
Like, that was like Marvel's triumph scene where like you always have the character who's like overcoming something, and yeah. there's always that cliched scene of them in physical therapy falling, and then like not, and then like somebody comes to pick them up, and then he's like, no, don't pick me up. I need to learn to get up myself.
All the best 80s movies have that scene.
It's true. It's true.
But it was beautiful, the dialogue they were having, because it was still nailed. It was like, yo, you know, Tony, you know, you're a fuck up, bro. You know? That's pretty much what he was saying. We're friends. I love you. You know, you're a fuck up.
Mr. Stank.
Yeah. We've got a crazy relationship here. But that emotional note is what made the fight scene at the end more emotional, because mm-hmm. then it was like, yeah. okay, we're maybe we made a mistake. I need to go work this out. And it was all getting there until he found out what he found out.
Right.
Can I just gush over the fact that they recreated my favorite cover from Civil War?
Yeah, sure. You can gush over it. Yeah, that was beautiful.
That was completely. And everything slows down at that moment where we have the repulsor rays against the shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their faces. Like, yeah. That was great.
They recreated that lovingly, okay? They're, like, in the exact same positions as they were on that cover. It was impressive.
The Russo brothers are, like, us sitting at this table right now. They are.
That is a very comforting thought.
They're nerds, bro. And you could tell. You could see it. We want to handle this with care, and we want to make it as awesome as we can, and they did. That very, very last scene. You know, not the scene after the credits where we see what happens to the Winter Soldier, but the scene where... And Cap would totally do that. You know, he knows, I know you're not feeling me right now, bro, but I got to get my feelings out. Like, when he sent him that letter and he read it.
And the phone.
Yeah, the phone.
Sending a letter is such a Captain America thing to do.
Well, he's Cap, you know.
Like, Tony would just send a text.
Yeah, he would just send, you know, a suit over with a voice recording. You know what I mean? But I thought
he'd
that was...
all flashy about it.
I thought that was super cool that he sent the letter and he really was like, yo, I'm really sorry, dude. Like, but I had to do what I had to do.
He only sent a letter. He sent a burner phone.
Yeah, but it was just, I mean, because that lets you know, like, dude, we're really friends. Like,
right.
It's fucked up right now. But, like, it was almost like the bro love. Like,
it was total bro love.
It was like, I love you, man.
There was a big-time bromance going on between those two.
But I had to do what I had to do, and mm-hmm. you did too. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad, and I'm sorry that I didn't tell you. But there's a reason why I didn't do it, and we're all going to have to live with that. But if you need us,
we're here.
And you will need us, apparently.
Marvel, the role models for personal struggle and friendship conflict.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and the burner phone, and then, like, Tony's face was kind of like, yeah, I'm still mad, but, like, yo, you know. Yeah, I'm going to need you guys at some point. Now we got to deal with fucking Thunderbolt Ross, and this guy's our boss. The fuck?
Hold on, let me put him on hold.
Yeah, that was awesome. When he was like, oh, hey, guys. Like, yeah, hold on. Yeah. Anyway, it was fucking awesome. I'm going to go see it again.
I am, too.
I think I might as well, actually.
Yeah, do it. Do it. We know why you're going to go see it again, Ani.
We didn't get to talk about that. I kept my quiet distance. Though I did actually have a philosophical question for you guys, if you have the time.
Gosh.
One thing I've been thinking about over here in my academic brain is that there's been a lot of conversation about the way women are portrayed in comics and the mm-hmm. way that they're drawn. And I was wondering if looking at actual human beings kind of complicates the way we look at male superheroes, how normally they're a male power fantasy, but I can't help but seeing when Cap was pulling that helicopter down, I was like, oh my God, look at his muscles. Like, there, I feel like it's almost a different switching of the way the characters are looked at. There's mm-hmm. almost a transition to more of a female gaze, almost in a way. Not completely and totally, because I do still think that largely it's a male power fantasy, but these are a lot of very attractive men running around in tight outfits. Yeah. Like, and I'm not trying to be funny, but, you know, I feel like it might even be a more open, perhaps, medium, looking at who's being cast and who they're trying to bring into the film.
Yeah, I think it's a bit better on the screen than it is on the page, and I think what you're saying is, smart, and I think it's something that people are considering, too. I do think, though, that the placement of shots tells a little bit, like, the fact that it is one thing to see these guys, but we're not looking at their butts all
no,
the time.
Yeah. That said, though, there are a lot of, like, shirtless scenes, you know, like, for example, in the first Thor, when he comes out and he's getting dressed, you know, and he's got...
Thor movie.
Right. You know, so I feel like mm-hmm. there is And I think it's balanced, you know what I mean? I think there's some shots for, you know, people who are interested in ladies and then some shots for people that are interested in men, you know? But I feel like it's almost opening that up in a way.
That's my hope, actually, is that it is doing that more. I think the movies are more successful at it than the marketing for the movies is, for example. The marketing can be a little frustrating.
Yes, no, I agree.
I like that. They're using sexism to their advantage by saying, well, okay, we can't, like, figure out a way to incorporate sexism on one gender, like, into the thing without drawing flak from it. So we'll just do it for both.
Well, the idea is equal opportunity, and it's not like attempting to objectify the characters. They just happen to be in order to be the characters they are. They're fit, and you see them doing. You know, it's not like we have close-ups of the muscle. You know, crunching up.
Right. No.
And, like,
I'm not saying that.
Zooming in on Captain America's big beefy vein.
Right. No. Yeah. I'm not saying that. It's just more of the fact that we're looking at human beings. Kind of in essence makes us. I don't know, as someone who likes men creatures, you know, that I can't help but kind of be attracted to that. You know what I mean? So not necessarily that they're saying, oh, yeah, ladies, look at Captain America. But the fact that
because
these
it wasn't
human,
that type of scene.
Right, exactly. But the fact that
Thor
these are
coming out of like a pool wet.
It was, it was a little bit of that type of scene. I'm not criticizing the scene.
It was just a smidgen, though. I mean, I think
anytime a dude pulls a helicopter from the sky,
you
know, you're going to be impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I was fucking impressed.
That could easily be like the male power fantasy thing as opposed to...
Yeah, there just happened to be a justifiable conflict behind it and something that had emotional resonance.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'll have more of the issue probably with Suicide Squad, because you know how I feel about the new 52 take on Harley Quinn and her outfit, and I don't like that that's what they chose for the screen.
Yeah.
And... I don't know. It doesn't look like all the other counterparts will be. We'll see. I mean, I'll reserve judgment until I actually see the final product. Right.
Yeah, I guess my point is, it's not that it's beefcake to go next to cheesecake. You know what I mean? It's just the fact that these aren't drawings that we're looking at. So it's people. You know,
so
and I don't.
It's inherently there's a sense inherently of a gaze, no matter what.
Right, almost. And the fact that by having actors, you're humanizing them. And then in a way, someone who's an attractive male actor is going to be appealing more than someone... Like, I was actually looking at drawn images of Captain America versus the way they pose.
Yeah.
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
You know, and how the images of him that are chosen as marketing material as opposed to, like, some marketing material of drawn Captain America and how they're posed differently and, you know... styled differently almost. I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing, you know, or that it's like, oh, inherently sexism for everyone or anything like that. But it's just kind of a complication of the issue almost.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I mean, when I saw that scene, I was like, oh, this is the scene that they made to generate Oscar buzz for Chris Evans' biceps.
And like, yo, those biceps did some great acting. Okay?
I don't care what anybody says. I think it's a good thing that they put a scene like that in the movie and that it was a man in the scene, you know, and instead of them like slow panning over some, you know, superheroine's butt or whatever.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think they've evened it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? And they have enough characters now where they can do that.
Yeah, right. Well, it's getting there at least.
But
it's,
I also think on the opposite end of the spectrum, I think it was cool because they could have totally, like, you know, sexed up Wanda, but they didn't.
They didn't, which was cool.
Yeah. I mean,
I always felt like Wanda, Scarlet Witch is always more of a chill character to me in general. Like, she's not always in the tightest clothing she gets to be because, I mean, sometimes she is.
Well, in the comics, her uniforms... I think there's only like two times where her uniforms are like, oh, okay, you're wearing a regular thing.
Yeah,
it was always
I'm looking at comics as well as cartoon representation. I mean, just how she's been in different states. Obviously, they're tight outfits too, but I think there's more. And she's younger, so they can't quite do it as much to her character because she's supposed to be the young one of the group, like the daughter character, almost surrogate.
Yeah.
But even like looking at a Black Widow, I don't think there's as much of a super sexy gaze on her now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They toned it down.
They definitely toned it down.
And they focus more on like her character.
Yeah. Right, and her ass kicking.
Well, clearly when she was introduced, it was like when she was pretending, when she was undercover.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a vavoom type thing on purpose.
Yeah.
You know.
Which I don't always get because it's like... How could you not look over there and see Scarlett Johansson and not be like, hey, it's Black Widow, you know, that woman whose face was on everything?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, how is she not famous now? As soon as she became an Avenger, her life as a spy should have pretty much ended.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not even going
to. She's that good.
I'm not going to delve into
You know what? I will take that.
I mean, we can say the same thing about James Bond. So, hey.
Yeah, we're very much good.
But wrapping it up, though, I want to add something that kind of takes place after the film. They're already clearly super excited about the response to Black Panther in this film. So they've started casting the Black Panther film. They're making a really big deal, or at least the media is. They're saying, oh, 90% of the film has been cast with people of color. Like, yep, duh. You know? But it takes place in Africa, you fuckers.
But the thing is that's not a duh. And that's why people are making... I mean, we just finished this whole Gods of Egypt thing.
We definitely had a conversation about it. You know? Let's be real.
No, we're still in it because they cast... what's her name? Is Ancient One in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked... Mm-hmm. And we definitely talked about that a couple episodes before how... I mean, it's weird. You know, it's difficult because... The way they explained it is like we're in a rock and a hard place. You know, if we cast an Asian person, then we're going to get this criticism. You know, if we cast it's a woman. We cast a dude and he's an old Asian dude. They're going to be like, oh, we're the stereotype of the old mystical Asian dude.
Yeah, but like, I think at this point they would draw significantly less flack if they did just like an Asian woman, because then it would be fine and nobody would really care. And then you're giving work to actors who aren't getting it.
I agree.
Some
with
people
you.
Would care.
I mean,
we call those people assholes.
Dude, we live in an age now where like no matter what you do, someone's going to be pissed. That's what it is. And they're going to be pissed
because it's growing pains. It's growing pains for learning to accommodate other people and understand other points of view.
Mm-hmm. And this is a tough situation because, you know, while they were finishing up the movie, there was already like grumblings like, oh, are they going to have some negative Asian stereotypes? And I'm like, dude, we got to go back to and accept when a lot of these characters were created, there were a lot of inherent social norms, which still exist. They're just covered up.
The Mandarin.
Yeah, they're covered up by different things. And the Mandarin's, you know, despite how he's been depicted, you know, the depiction of his character has matured over time.
Yes. That's the
Mandarin's
the thing
badass.
No, he's a great character. It's just his depiction started as horrible Fu Manchu stereotype.
Without question.
And over time, it just became better. So you got to that rock and hard place scenario where they're like, we hate how the Mandarin looks, but we really like his character, which is what led to their decision in Iron Man 3, which I think was the best thing they could have done.
A lot of people still pissed about that, but I got why they did it. It was the trickery and the slickery, and I like how that panned out.
And there's a lot of that with just older more storied superhero characters in general that are, you know, a minority status in some way or another. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of, I mean, because there are so few of them that you want to protect the ones you have, and they're important, but you also have to be aware like of the problems that were around the time they were created and how they are now. And
I mean, which is why I think, you know, we're coming into the fall, not that we're coming into the fall right now, but, you know, we're looking forward to Luke Cage because I think Luke Cage is going to be fantastic. Them properly casting a Black Panther, I mean, they know that they can't fuck this one up.
Right.
I mean, because this is a linchpin to, like, whatever they're going to do afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, of course, if it's going to take place in Africa, they're not going to, you know, have T'Challa be king and have a bunch of people who are racially ambiguous be in the court. No. Like, those people are going to be people of color, and that makes sense. I get why they're making a big deal out of it, but I am glad that the actors that they're choosing fit.
Right. So we have Lupita as his potential love interest. Which
super
only
excited.
Makes me mad because it's not me. But
super excited about that.
Yeah.
And then
Michael B. Jordan is definitely riding, you know, that Creed wave.
And
right
saying,
now.
Fuck off Fantastic Four, moving on to other pastures.
But that's what you have to do. You're Johnny Storm, and then you move on to better things within, your universe.
I was about to say, didn't that happen? Like, Chris Evans is now Captain America, and he
now
also
know
was Johnny
Storm? Yeah, he was exactly same character.
Yeah, they
the
played the same
superior
character.
Superior greatness is to play a shitty version of Johnny Storm, and then be immediately cast as a better character for a Marvel movie.
And to wrap this up, did you guys hear that rumor? It was right after I heard about the Black Panther casting, that they want to do a Fantastic Four sequel and do a better job. They were like, we really want to do a sequel.
No,
we're
going to get it right this time. We're not going to hire Josh Trank.
Michael B. Jordan's like, sorry, guys, I'm a little busy.
Yeah. It's going to be like, how about this? Just go ahead and let Marvel
we're gonna get a better
have
wig.
The rights. And we'll fix it, guys. Just come
just
on home.
Come on back.
Come on home,
We've
guys.
Got Cookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I know we had problems before, but you know we're good for it. Come on.
So I think that wraps up Civil War, man. Go see it if you haven't seen it. I'm not going to say that if you haven't seen it, you're lame. I know I've did that before, and I was in my nerd bubble. I'm not going to do that this time, guys. But you should go see the film. The film already has made, you know, a shit ton of money. So at this point,
it doesn't even need you.
You know, but you should. But you should.
I don't even care if you see it, man.
See it, man. See it. Because it's fucking awesome.
It's awesome.
On that note, I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah, I feel like that definitely wraps it up, and I feel like you should definitely probably subscribe and I don't know, maybe comment and rate and review.
Yeah, once again, you know, Nuff said on iTunes, K N U F F S A I D. There's a space between that. Mm-hmm. SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Instagram.
Instagrams.
Nuff said. We're on Tumblr.
Tumblr.
This is Nuff said. You need to subscribe, first off.
Please.
Stop fronting. Subscribe. Don't just listen to it and not subscribe. You're going to piss me off. You know? No one wants to do that. Subscribe.
Leave comments.
Rate, review. Leave comments because we need to incorporate that you guys listen to the show and you care about what. If you completely disagree with everything we said today, please make a comment.
We read all the comments.
We want to talk to you.
We're going
to
share them. I'm going to burn you and it's going to be great.
So, I won't burn you.
I am. I'm going to burn
That's
you.
That's just
who
Corey.
Knows? Maybe you'll burn us in a comment.
Yeah.
Would you leave?
And we'll accept it. You know, yeah. Kane's probably going to burn you too. He likes that.
And you know, we'll embrace the burning.
Yeah.
We'll embrace the burning because that will lead to the impetus for us to create eventually our Nuff Said forum.
Yes. Healing. That kind of thing.
Yes.
So, healing and growth.
I'm going to burn you. Anyway, I'm Case Mosey Anima.
My name is Ziani.
Dr. Phil.
I'm just Caitlin.
And we're hanging out with...
me, Nick, the guy. Hey, what's up?
And this has been...
Nuff Said!
Nuff Said Podcast, guys. We're out.
Boom! Woot!